Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
I get that question a lot. People often ask me after I make a recommendation, is this what you would do? Is this what you're doing with your own money? And sometimes they're asking about a financial planning strategy, such as how much to put in their 401k, Roth IRA, or how much to pay down on debt. Or perhaps they're asking about a specific investment recommendation. Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to episode 26 of Finding True Wealth. Today, we're talking about the Hopwood Personal Financial Plan. So the purpose is to give you a glimpse of how I manage money for our family and for our small business. So do financial planners practice what they preach? I've seen a few interesting cases over the course of my career and speaking with my colleagues, and I can make the argument that many advisors should be hiring an advisor for themselves, but not me. I'm good, thanks. Let's start with the fundamentals, the foundation, income, expenses, cash flow, debt, insurance. We keep a large amount of cash on hand in our personal bank accounts, as well as the business checking account. We used to run a little more lean in this area since interest rates are so low, pretty much zero, and our income has been very predictable. However, after our 2015 transition from our broker-dealer, not having a paycheck for a couple months during that transition didn't feel very good, and it's not like there's no money there for a paycheck. It was just that the timing was severely disrupted, and we had a few delays, so I had the effect of no paycheck for 2 or 3 months. So as a result of that experience, as well as my wife's recent decision to stay home from the workforce with our new baby, I feel much better about having a large reserve. Another way to access cash on hand is your home equity line of credit. We've always kept access to a large credit line as large as possible. It's an extra way to get a lot of cash quickly. For income and expenses, I want to refer you to episode 13, where we talk about tracking your expense and net worth each month. I know exactly what our income, expenses, and net worth looks like each month because I've been actually doing this for 10 years. I can see the trend month over month. It's actually kind of fun. I can see how our spending has changed over time. I can estimate how much cash we'll need over the next few months. Listen to this episode and download the sample spreadsheet. It's very important. For health insurance, we have a high deductible plan, which is HSA eligible. That's your health savings account. And it's the only triple tax-free investment in the history of the world, at least since taxes started. So we have HSA Bank, which is linked to our TD Ameritrade brokerage account, and we deposit the maximum each year and we invest that money. We do not use the money in the account to pay for our current medical expenses. There are two reasons why we do this strategy. First, you need to have the money invested and earn a return in order to take advantage of that triple tax-free benefit. And number two, the cost of medical, for us anyway, has been going up 20% per year, and we're doomed if we don't have a large nest egg dedicated to medical expenses in the future. And I'm going to be age 39 this year, so I'm like 26 years away from Medicare, and we have no idea how Medicare will look in the future. So it's just best to bank on yourself, and we want to take advantage of that tax benefit at the same time. For life insurance, we have $1 million on my wife and $3 million on me, and it's all term. When we got married, we bought a $300,000 20-year term policy, and that was about 15 years ago. And after our first kid, we bought another 20-year term for $1 million, and then we took out a bunch of debt with a house and other properties and buying out the business, and we had another 20-year term. At that point, we decided to cancel the original 300, long story, another kid, another million. Anyway, we have 3 million in term, and my philosophy on life insurance is to insure your debt, your kid's education, and income replacement. So the three policies we have in force, they're going to start expiring, and I figure we have 8 years left, and we have a baby who's 1 year old, and so she's going to be like 9, and then we're going to not have any more life insurance. So I'm okay with that for now because I think that we'll be more than self-insured at that time. But if I change my mind, I can always buy another term policy. For most young families, like we were and maybe we still are, I think a lot of cheap term insurance makes a lot of sense. I think a big whole life or a big universal policy should generally only be considered for highly affluent folks who are making an investment. And you invest in life insurance for many reasons, which could include the tax benefits. And it just so happens that it's a life insurance policy as well. Now, for disability insurance, I have two disability policies insuring my income for literally as much as we could possibly get. I see a lot of people without disability coverage, so it is a concern, and for me, I wanted to load up on it. Now, as far as savings plans goes, this is how we approach our systematic savings each month, including retirement. So Peak Wealth, we have what we call a simple IRA plan. It's very similar to a 401, except that it has different limits. So the max for someone at my age is $12,500, plus the company matches 3%. Sadly, the limit of $12,500 is only two-thirds of what a 401k will allow, and this year 401k will allow $18,500. And if the simple IRA limits were higher, I would definitely take advantage. I'm not sure why the government makes a simple IRA a smaller contribution limit than a traditional 401k, but we have to follow the rules. The good news is that I've been adding to this 401k/simple IRA type pre-tax plan since I was 21 for both my wife and I, so we have a good amount of pre-tax investments already. And in retirement, I want to have different tax buckets, not just all pre-tax. So we invest the simple IRA in one of our UMAX models, and then we add $1,000 a month to my trust at TD Ameritrade, which is invested in tax-free municipal bonds. I like the idea of tax-free munis to balance out the risk that we carry in the aggressive retirement accounts. I also like the tax-free part. We also add $1,000 a month to my wife's trust, and that's invested in one of our UMAX models. So we have a total of $24,000 that goes to our trusts, plus the simple, another $12,000. So that's about $36,000 that goes into retirement each year that's on cruise control. And technically, the trust is not retirement, but we consider it as a retirement asset. Now, when we look at the kids, we've been adding $500 a month to each 529 since birth. For our two oldest boys, a long time ago, we bought 1 year of the MET, M-E-T. That's the Michigan Education Trust. We did that when they were babies. But we decided not to do that for our third kid because the MET has gotten quite expensive, in my opinion. And the reason we're adding $500 a month is because I figure it'll take $500 a month to fully fund the University of Michigan from birth to age 21. So we choose a 529 because the earnings are tax-free if they're used for college, and I like those tax benefits. We also add $50 per month to each kid's UGMA, that's the UGMA brokerage account. We've done that since birth as well. And the idea is that that money can be used to help get them ahead in life. You know, imagine if you had a college degree and a nice chunk of cash to help you get started in life to buy a house or whatever. That's our idea. And we're not just spoiling them. Okay, we're teaching them good money lessons every day to make sure that they're making good decisions as they grow up. And you know, our next lesson for the boys will be to allow them to start picking some of their favorite companies and buy stocks in them. Now, right now, our oldest son, Hunter, you know, he has his Apple iPad, he watches Netflix, he has Nike shoes and Under Armour gear, and now he says he's ready to invest. So I think that'll be a great lesson. I'm looking forward to, you know, helping him and coaching him on that. I can still remember when I got my first when I had my savings account statement, I asked my mom, hey, I'm only earning like, you know, 10 cents per month on this savings account. Can't we do more? Can't we do something to earn more interest? And she helped me buy my first mutual fund, and we just used her broker at that time. We also add $350 a month to an online savings account, and I do that because at some point in time, I figured that was the amount of gas that I would save each month because I drive a Tesla Model S. And obviously a Tesla doesn't burn any gas. So I wanted to take that amount that I was spending at the pump, put it into a savings account. And then the idea is that we can use that money to buy the downstroke on the next car. So what about debt? I'm really not a big fan, probably because in 2008, we got stuck holding quite a bit. We bought a new house with a great big mortgage. We speculated, and we bought a condo in Florida with a mortgage. We bought six rental units with mortgages. We tapped out our home equity line of credit to purchase part of the business back in the day. And when you added all that up, it was over $1.4 million. And then the market crashed, the real estate market, stock market, and my income dropped something like 30%. So imagine how I was feeling at that time. We just, charged up the limit on the debt card, and then your income dropped dramatically. So that's why I'm not a big fan of debt today. I don't like the feeling. So after we moved into our place in 2009 with a brand new 30-year mortgage, plus all that other debt, we were on a mission to pay it all off, and we did. And just this year, in fact, 2017, we paid off the house because we ended up refinancing to a 10-year mortgage, and then we used the buyout from my wife's retirement to finish it off. We also have 16 real estate rentals, which are completely paid off and self-sufficient, no debt. The profits from those rentals are used to buy more rentals. The goal is to buy one duplex each year, and the investments in the simple IRA and the trust of what we talked about earlier, the $36,000 per year, that'll be more than enough when added to our existing portfolio to allow for a normal retirement at 62 or 65. But the real estate's a complete game changer. That could allow for a lot more exciting things with early retirement. And that's about it. It's a broad brush overview. That's our plan for now until something changes, and it most certainly will. And that's why if you work with me, you know that we don't print out those 50-page financial plans anymore, because as soon as the ink dries, it's out of date. Our plan is alive and it's fluid, and you can access it on planwithpeak.com. So that's it for this episode, but I do have an important disclosure. This podcast should not be considered a recommendation or advice of any kind. If you like the way that we think about money, or maybe you're looking for a second opinion, maybe you're thinking about retiring soon, or what your income can look like in retirement, if you have a portfolio of over $500,000, reach out to me, nick@peakwm.com, or go to the website peakwm.com, fill out the form online to apply for a meeting. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.